73 outside. It's a very nice, but a little bit cooler spring day here. Nope, sorry. Is it spring or summer? We're right on, you know, probably early this morning it was summer. We probably hit it then, huh, Mabel Louise?
That's right. I don't know.
I think, you know, yeah, Thursday. Yeah.
Oh,
welcome
today
to summer.
Is
yeah. It's the day of summer.
First day
All right.
Summer. Yeah. Yep, it's June 21st. Happens every year. And it's the longest day of the year. I don't know about you, but it seems to me that when this day passes, oh my goodness, the summer goes by so fast because we're all having a good time. I hope you are. I'm sure you are. Well, my verse right off of the top is Psalm 118, verse 24. Here's what it says, in case you don't remember. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm glad. Are you? I'm glad to have you out there listening. It'd be horrible if I prepared my message and I didn't have anyone to listen. So thank you. I love this verse that I just read because it encourages us to stop our complaining and enjoy the day. Just live it up. And we can when we know Jesus as our Savior. Yes, we all can enjoy the summer. So many beautiful, colorful flowers. And you look about and there's plush foliage everywhere. Took a trip through the meadow yesterday and there's so many wild flowers blooming. They're so beautiful. Say, have you ever visited Niagara Falls? My husband and I went there. We called it our third or fourth honeymoon. It was one of the trips that we wanted to take. So you have to go to the state of New York in the States to see it. But you can cross over to Canada and see their side. And by the way, on the Canadian side is a large greenhouse and a florist shop. And as you enter that greenhouse, you can see a big sign. And this is what it says. Enter, friends. View God's handiwork. It's the embroidery of the earth. That's a nice way to explain it. That's right. I guess we can say the same thing about a rainbow. And we've had some of those lately with all the rain and then the sunshine. Well, do you remember reading the poems from the Mother Goose book? Oh, my goodness, how my mother would read them to me for hours. And, of course, I read them to my children. They loved them, too. And I read them so many years and listening to my mom that I remembered when I was preparing this message, I remembered one. It never really made much sense to me, but it goes like this. Mary, Mary, quite contrary, how does your garden grow? With silver bells and cockle shells and pretty maids all in a row. Remember that one? Well, I thought about that old nursery rhyme, which, by the way, bugged me because I couldn't figure out what it was trying to say. It changed the subject so much. But guess what? Yep, I got my title for my message for today and on my last broadcast. And I included the wonderful message from the Bible, the parable of the sower, and the explanation that the Lord gave to the disciples. So today, let me continue on with my message, because I have listed four things that a good gardener has to do in order to have it bear fruit, those delicious vegetables. And all of this was got my curiosity up when I went down to see the garden that my grandchildren are putting in this year. And, of course, with the storms that we've had, I went down in my little gym car and looked to see if everything was all right. And it was. Thank you, Lord. Well, on my last broadcast, I talked about preparing the soil. And, of course, that's number one. If you want to grow a garden, you have to take care of tilling the soil and fertilizing and getting it all prepared before you plant the seeds and the plants. And so now, after talking about that, the first thing I want to talk about today is the seeds and the plants. Anyone can take a handful of seeds and toss them in the air and let them fall to the ground. Some would grow, but planting would be haphazard, wouldn't it? One plant would be growing here and another one in another place. No order. And really, some of the seeds would blow away by the wind and some would be washed away in a heavy rain. So, in order to get the best results, the gardener must take into consideration the soil and the climate of his area. Like, for instance, you wouldn't want to plant early and have the frost come, or you don't want to plant too late and have the extreme heat of the summer. Well, Ecclesiastes 3:2 says, there is a time to plant. So you have to consider that in the area where you live. And many times the seed packet will tell you when to plant and how many days it takes to produce the fruit of the seed and how tall the plant grows. Everything is so handy and wonderful. When I was a child, my mom and dad, first thing early, before time to even prepare the soil, they would go to a farm place and order bulk seeds because we had a huge garden. And so we would have that all there. There wouldn't be any instructions. It would be Dad and Mom's memory. And we always planned our garden, or planted it rather, in rows so that my husband could see and use the rototiller. He had to get rid of all those weeds that irritate us. And, of course, it also aerates the soil. So it was really important to make rows. We'd take string and make them as straight as we could because of that rototiller. And the spiritual lesson we learn here is that we need to give careful attention to how the seed of the Word of God is planted in our hearts. If, for instance, we only occasionally read the Word and neglect the things that are necessary for our growth, we can't expect to see much in the way of spiritual growth ever happening in our lives. If we only read the New Testament or the same few books over and over, we will not know how full the counsel of God really is. I've heard people say, well, I spent time on single subjects like the love of God or on heaven or the need of salvation, but they excluded other areas of God's word. So I guess I'd like to just say we need to read all of God's word, both the New and the Old Testament, and regular meditation in the Bible and lots of prayer will give us strong spiritual growth. And other ways of growing in Christ is by great Christian music, Christian literature. And aren't there lots of Christian books out there now for us? Magazines, covering every subject you can think of. And I help with the calling at our church, and I've had people tell me that they don't need to go to church because they can worship at home. I'm sure you've heard that too. But you know what? There's nothing like the fellowship and learning the Word of God that you can attain in Sunday school and church. And Hebrews 10:25 is a reminder, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another as so much the more as you see the day approaching. The second coming of Christ is coming. It's one day closer. And as you see that, the scripture is saying, it's so important to go to church and learn and have the fellowship. And then the next step in the garden would be providing protection against the enemies. Oh my goodness, enemies of the plants. The really major task of a good gardener is to protect his plants against the enemies. Fighting the growth of weeds. Oh my goodness, it's constant, isn't it? The gardener has to pull up the whole weed, and that is a big job. I know in our garden, we never used weed killer. Our enemies of the plants, of course, are the many, many insects that can damage the leaves or the roots. And there are different kinds of sprays and different dusts that you can buy. And I remember as a child, one of my memories is going through the potato patch and hand-picking the bugs off the plants. I would carry a tin can with some gasoline in it, put the bugs in the can because that was about the only thing that would kill them. And, of course, that was quite a job, believe me. So as we think about the enemies of the garden plant, we can all think about certain things that hinder our spiritual growth as a believer. Weeds can be compared to sin, and sin manifests itself in many ways. It usually makes itself attractive as it uses a strategy to trap the Christian. Other common enemies of faith are weeds of bitterness, weeds of jealousy, weeds of hate and gossip and selfishness, laziness, all of those things in our Christian walk. In John 15:1-6, Jesus compares himself to a vine and his followers as branches that receive their nourishment from him. Sin can surely creep in so fast, can't it? And we need to deal with it immediately, confessing our sin or our sins and hopefully forsaking them. So in comparison, we need to watch for any sin and protect ourselves against the enemies of the garden of our hearts. And then comes the good part, the harvest. Oh, happy day when you can go to the garden and pick some nice fresh leaf lettuce, those green onions, and those radishes. Those are the ones whose fruit arrives first, at least in my garden. And God has established laws that affect plant growth, and he has done the same for spiritual growth. As we grow in the Lord, we produce fruit, hopefully that we're conscious of the fact that God wants to use them. And we will want to serve Jesus and listen to the sweet Holy Spirit's leading. So our real harvest will be a personal life of growth and victory that will bless those that are around us. And as we witness, that will cause others to come to know Jesus too. Yes, that's the big harvest that the Lord wants. And so as we examine the four steps, how does your garden grow? And they are: prepare the soil, plant the seeds and plants, protection against the enemies as you cultivate and pull those weeds and kill those bugs. And then last but not least, the beautiful harvest. Oh, that's what WWIB is all about. That's why it started. My husband and I wanted so much to see people come to know Jesus as their own personal Savior. So as I close my broadcast today, our real harvest will be a personal life of growth and victory that will bless those around us, and our witness will cause others to come to know Jesus too. So I really believe the key is diligence. And that's the success of gardening, and also the key to our effective Christian living. The Holy Spirit prepares our hearts, and we must be willing for the Lord to work in our lives. So, as we plant the Word of God in our heart, we will be ready to fight our enemy, who is Satan. And we'll produce fruit that will truly glorify our precious Jesus. Maybe you're not able to have a garden at your place, but at least you can learn more insight in the parable of the sower. My sweetheart and I planted gardens all of our married life, not only for vegetables, but for precious souls. It's been so good to be with you. God bless you, and have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.